from Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11, teaching about the Lord's Prayer. Amen? Amen. Are you ready? You got your Bible? Amen. Praise the Lord. Bible says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are mighty and awesome and able, Lord, that you will meet us here, Lord, that you will do indeed hear our prayers, Lord, Lord, and that you guide our prayers, that you would guide us this morning, Lord, that we might find greater fullness, Lord, that we might get a sync up, a link up with heaven, Lord, that we might go through this next week, month, year, and the rest of our lives, Lord, with a focus on heaven and a living in the shadow of the cross, Lord, that you might meet us here this morning and bring transformation. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, I have been struggling with migraines, and you guys prayed for me, I think, 2 weeks ago for the migraines, and last week I had the backache. Woo-hoo, it feels good to be able to move and shake and do all that stuff. Actually, I don't know if it's moving and shaking, but if you're on tape, no, it's not shaking, not doing any dancing. But anyway, it was last week, and I can't remember what day, you can ask her, but Sharon Bryant, I think it was on a Thursday morning, said, Diet Coke will give you migraines. And I'm like, say what? Are you kidding me? I mean, I might drink 3 or 4 Diet Cokes a day. 3 or 4? I mean, I tell you what. Well, I did some research. It's true. It is true, man. The aspartame. How do you say that word? Aspartame. Aspartame with an M. Okay. I thought it was aspartame, but it's aspartame. That stuff. Well, it'll wrap around your nerves and do some stuff and, like, release some stuff, some other things, man, and it will give you migraines. And I was getting migraines. I mean, I got my first migraine when I was 15, and they didn't have Diet Coke back then, so I don't know what I got it from then. But, I mean, you get a migraine, last the night, into the next one. I was getting migraines that would come for 2 or 3 days. And now I know that you guys are praying for me. Right? You guys are praying for me, but my choices are like battling with your prayers, right? You know, and the Lord will give you your choices. Amen? I mean, yeah, you won't make some bad choices. The Lord's just going to say, well, he's going to have them ramifications coming right at you. But he will also send you somebody like Sharon Bryant who will speak truth into your life. Sometimes by his Spirit, he will speak truth into your life because your choices can have impact on how and what you are doing every day. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Well, we are on this series called Discovering Jesus, and we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer today. And it is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. How many people thought it sounded a little bit weird? Like, yeah, hey, whoa, hey. All right, well, hey, Matthew's got a version. Oh, okay, let's hear that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, is that closer? But it's still not right, right? Because the one that I grew up was our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen? Amen. That feels like home cooking, right? Well, today, see, now Matthew's version happened several months in a similar situation, different time, wasn't this different versions of the same instance? It was a different instance. It was a different occasion. And Jesus said, well, let me tell you. And so in Luke's version, Jesus still had something going on in his life, right? And the disciples are saying, we want this. Teach us how to pray. We are trying to get what you got. Amen? We want to be connected to heaven in the way that you are connected to heaven. So teach us how to pray. And they saw prayer as a means to that connection. Maybe today you are coming here and you are looking for something. We're in this series, Discovering Jesus. And the more you discover who Jesus was, the greater your connection to heaven is going to be. So if you come here today and you are looking for something more in your life, is that you? Are you looking for more? Put your hand up. You say, yeah, I want more. Say, I'm looking for a hookup. I'm looking to be connected closer to heaven. You have come to the right spot. Aren't you happy? Amen, amen, amen. All right. Let's take a look. Verse 2, it says, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And as you pray, as you begin your prayer life, we need to understand who God is. Amen? He says, hallowed be your name. And it's not just the name. You know, because it says, you know, hallowed, revered, holy is your name. But back in the day, name meant more than just Mike Seward, you know. Who should I make this check out to? Make it out to Lisa Metz. Yes, make that out to Lisa Metz. You know, it's more than just a name. Let me say, when you say Tony Gwynn, what do you think of? Man, you say Tony Gwynn, man, you're thinking of batting championships, silver bats, golden gloves, thinking about 3,000 hits. You are thinking about what? You're thinking about all of his career. Amen? And so it's more than a name. It's more the man. Amen? And so as Jesus said, hallowed be your name, it is more like you are hallowed. You be hallowed. You be set apart. You be glorified. You be holy in my life. And if you will begin your prayers by understanding who God is, that is a great way to have a hookup with heaven. Amen? That is a great way to have a change in your life. And as you think about the holiness of God, I get this great picture from Isaiah chapter 6. And it is a great, I mean, this is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. And it talks about Isaiah, the prophet, in the temple saying, man, in the year that King Uzziah died, I was in the temple and I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the temple was filled with the glory of God. And there were angels that were flying around the Lord. And it talks about they had six wings, and with two they covered their face, and two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they called out. They called to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. And so as the Lord says, as you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. I would love for you, and I think Jesus would be blessed, if you got that picture in your mind of the glory and the holiness of God. You can get similar pictures in the book of Revelation, where there is the multitudes of just prayer and adoration going up, that the Lord is indeed high and lifted up. Amen? So as you pray, let's get a feel for who God is. And then as you continue, right, it says when you pray, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And that's kind of an opening that we give to the Lord, right? Because oftentimes we can get up in the morning and we're worried about our kingdom, right? Your kingdom come, but just to let it infringe on my kingdom. OK, Can I get a witness on that? See, what we do as we pray and we get an understanding of who Jesus is and who our Creator is, we say, Your kingdom come in my life. Your kingdom overrule my kingdom. Where am I making choices that are about me, and where should I start making choices that are about you? And what you do is you say, Your kingdom come, you give God permission to come and mess in your life. Because He's not going to step in without your permission. He'll let you crash and burn. He'll let you get migraines all day long. But He ain't going to come in and put that, you know, some people say, oh, the Lord wants me to smoke. He's not putting that out. It's like, the Lord wants me to smoke. He'll blow this lighter out. That's not the way He rolls. Right? The Lord don't want you to smoke. Smoking won't send you to hell. It'll get you where you're going quicker. That's for sure. It'll get you that decision day. And so He's saying, hey, treat your body good. You don't have to cough. You don't burn holes in your shirt, in your car seat, all that kind of stuff. He said, but I'm going to put out that lighter. I'm not going to hide it from you. I will help you as soon as you ask for some help to get over it. Amen? Amen. All right. So we surrender our plans for the plans of God. Let's go to the second part of this prayer. Give us each day our daily bread. That sounds pretty good, don't it? Hey, now bread was the primary chunk of every meal. Bread, morning, day, and night. We have bread because they can make it, right? Daily provision is part of the plan. Now, notice that this comes second. That first part, lifting up God, that first part, getting an orientation on where we reside in relation to heaven, in relation to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in relation to His plans and our plans, right? So we do all that stuff, and then we come to daily provision. There's a lot of people that would like to put it the other way around. Why do I got to do all that? Can't we just get to the provision and get done with it? Lord, I need. How many of your kids act like that? Yeah? Now, when you parents, when your children come up to you and say, Dad, what do you need from me? What can I do for you, right? Doesn't it just bless your heart? And they're going, what do you want, kid? You're not normal. But if your kid is genuinely like that, you're thinking, what does my kid need? Man, I just want to hook my kid up, right? The Lord wants us to know how He is, man. He says, when we will sync up with Him, all the provision is added unto us. But we can't short-circuit the program. We don't get to shift the priorities. We need to keep God's order. Daily provision is part of the plan. Notice it's not give us weekly our weekly bread. Give us monthly our monthly bread. Give me annually my yearly bread. I'll come back and see you next year. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, yeah, Lord, hook me up. I'll be back later. Oh, how many people want to do that? No, He's saying every day I want to see Your shining face. Give us each day. Just a day. Because I'll see you tomorrow, right? If you forget, you might be a little bit hungry. So let's not forget. Give me just enough for today, Lord. And that'll be good enough for me. See, the Lord wants to keep that prayer cord nice and short. Nice and tight. And there's a lot of people who want the hook up from heaven, but don't want to be all that close. And that's why Jesus says, when you want to pray, say, give us each day our daily bread. Because daily provision is part of the kingdom of God. Amen? We do that around here. Look at that lady. Struggling last week, a little sick, but hey, back in the saddle. Hallelujah. What do? We do, and maybe you don't know this, but we do, most of you, everybody knows it. We do food distribution on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We're not doing it tomorrow because it's, St. Columbus Day or something. Veterans Day. Oh, I'm sorry. How many veterans we got here? Praise the Lord. A little round of applause for our veterans. St. Columbus Day is coming up. Is this St. Columbus? No, anyway. It's coming up. Last month? All right. Anyway. We do food distribution. And the food we get, sometimes it don't last real long. Some of the stuff we get, you better take it home and cook it right now. You know what I'm talking about if you got that food. Right? And it is good for today. But you better come back. In the midst of our program, man, we got people cooking and cleaning and doing all kinds of stuff and being part of the family of God and the community of God. And it's a good thing. Sometimes people come in, they really don't want any part of that. Just give me the food and get me out of here. They look like that on their face, dude. They're not very happy people. But I'll tell you, we got some people that just want to be part of the community of God, and there is daily provision involved. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's continue on. We need some help with problems. Anybody got problems? Oh, yeah, we all got problems. Forgive us our sins. Listen, see, we got to line up with heaven, got God's name, we got God's plan, the kingdom come, we got daily provision, now we got problems, we got sin, right? Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And our prayers need to touch on sin. I mean, we can just get to the, hey, give me my daily bread, thank you, amen. Oh, no, there's a little bit more that is coming. Now, forgiveness, we talk about forgiveness, talk about the forgiveness of sins, that is a key component in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Check it out. In the Last Supper, there we go. Thank you, wife. Find a wife, find a good thing, amen? Matthew 26, 27 and 28. He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is key to the kingdom. And Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God. Now, it is your sin that keeps you out of the kingdom of God. Amen? It is the choices that you make that cause you go in the other direction from the kingdom of God that our Lord calls sin. Now, when you daily come for your bread, and when you daily recognize the creator of the universe, and when you daily ask that his kingdom would come and overshadow yours, then you can daily come and make a reckoning on your sins. Because everybody's got a problem with sin. Everybody's got a problem with sin. Get on my notes here, I'm sorry. As you come to him asking for forgiveness, you come daily recognizing your need. And your need, your daily need, is tied up in your choices. And each one of us make choices that build up that pile of sin in our lives. Amen? And as we come and we ask forgiveness, we begin to push that pile down and slide it down and slide it down. And we always got something to work on because it's kind of like my wife thinking about our children cleaning the house. It's never good enough. There's always a little bit more to go. You know, Joe, 2-3 minutes, man. House is clean. It's amazing, man. You have a contest. I mean, these boys, I bet you line up all the high school boys, they could clean a house in 1 minute. It's clean. Win. Winner. Right here. We can go play games, right? Yeah. No, there's always some more that you can do. And so as you come asking forgiveness, you come humbly realizing that you have got a problem. You've got a problem with our choices. And then he says, you get a feel for forgiveness. As you're asking it, you make a promise to start giving it. What? Yeah, I need forgiveness, and I'm going to start forgiving all those people around me. What? Because some of us just want to, it's like the Santa thing. I just want to get everything for me. I don't want to have to give nothing. No. You're going to become a dealer in forgiveness. You're going to receive it, and you're going to pass it out. And you'll be good at forgiveness after a little while. Amen? And as you realize that you got problems, as you realize you're not perfect, you're going to let some other people around you also be not perfect. It's like, what? Oh, we want everybody else around us to be perfect, right? Oh, you better not mess with me. Don't make any choices that mess with me. I'm going to make choices that mess with you, but I didn't mean to. And we give ourselves all kinds of leeway, but we don't want to give anybody else any leeway. The Lord says, hey, I'll forgive you, but I want you to start being a forgiver as well. Everything changes. Amen? You start smoothing out that pile of sin that keeps you out of the kingdom of God. Amen? All right. Second part. Ooh, lead us not in temptation. Anybody have a little temptation this week? Oh, we are surrounded by challenges. Amen? We are surrounded by opportunities to sin. Some of those choices that we make, sometimes I go, ooh, that looks kind of fun. Say, God, help me be smart. Help me choose well. Because we are surrounded by opportunity to be stupid. Right? There's all kinds of things that we might do that are going to trip us up. Right? Some of them in, everybody else is doing it. Help me be smart. Help me make great choices, Lord. Help me not be stupid. Help me not stumble. Help me not fall. And what you do is say, you're saying, I need some help, Lord. I need you to guide me, deliver me, instruct me. And the Bible says that there is help that is available. Jesus says, John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Holy Spirit comes, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into truth. See, when you say, lead me not into temptation, you're saying, lead me to what is good. Amen? Hey, you know what? You got to ask. Lord, help me out. Are you sure you want that? You've been making these lame choices for a little while now. I've been kind of whispering, yo, Aaron. And you haven't been listening. And you say, Lord, I'll be listening now. Lead me not in temptation. Right? Help me out. What's the other part of that? It says when he comes, he's going to convict the Aaron bugs of guilt in regards to sin. Why? Because you asked him for direction. Right? You start feeling guilty when you start thinking about some of that stuff. What is that? It's a ministry of the Holy Ghost, in your life. You say, don't go that way. Turn right. Turn left. You're going to get lost. Turn right. Lead me not in temptation, Lord. I need some help. I can't get this done on my own. I'm struggling. You come to the Lord and you will come to the Lord humble. Lord, I've been messing up. Now, the Lord does not want you to live in fear. No. Romans 3, 8, 35 to 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Anybody have trouble this week? Yes. Shall hardship? Anybody have hardship this week? Oh, yeah. Persecution? I don't think we really know what persecution is. Famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, every challenge that is arrayed against you, we are more than conquerors. You say conquerors with me, would you? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God does not want you to be afraid, but he doesn't want you to be stupid. He's saying, you got to come to me every day in the morning, ask for some direction, ask for some help, ask for some provision, and you shall have it. Amen? Don't be dumb. Don't go the wrong way. Come to the Lord. You can find victory. This week, I've been experiencing victory. I have had one half of a Diet Coke. And you know what? I read that stuff. It says, as you cut down on that aspartame or whatever that stuff is, aspartame, you get more sensitive to it. And just a little dab will just kick you off. I was like, no, man. You know what? And it's like, my eyes get all messed up. I can't read. You know, like my thinking process is all messed up. It's like, no way. I'm not. What Sharon said made me sensitive to what I was experiencing in my brain. Now, my wife said, oh, that stuff's going to give you Alzheimer's. I said, I won't know about it. But migraines, man, I'm fighting that, man. And I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want another week-long migraine. So today I went down to the soda machine. I said, well, I can't have a Diet Coke. There ain't no coffee made. So I bought one of them. I got a Diet Snapple. There we go. Looked at it. Like third ingredient. Aspartame. I'm like, oh, can't have this stuff either. Anybody wants a migraine? There is a Snapple diet down in the fridge. You may have it after church. And realistically, probably none of you get migraines from aspartame. I do. I'm having some victory. Amen? See, as you get some help from the Lord, it is up to you what you do with it. Are you going to grab onto that help and move into victory? Or are you just going to be wimping out, laying there and saying, oh, help me, help me? No, man. We are what? More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we good? Amen. Got to get hooked up with heaven, man. We're going to grab on tight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, picture of prayer. We got two pictures here, okay? And I spent a little time on this. He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight. Now, how many of you guys are asleep at midnight? I'm asleep at midnight. And he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And then the one inside says, don't bother me. Have you said that before? I've said that before. Don't bother me. The door is locked. My children are with me in bed. And realistically, back in the day, they would probably have one room and like rearrange it for sleeping in the night. And he'd get up, crawl over his kids, you know, everybody's woken up, little kid, 2-year-old's crying. You know, it's like, hey, it ain't happening. My wife's going to be mad. She's going to take care of that 2-year-old. Says, I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend. Yet, because of the man's boldness, say boldness, would you? Because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And this is a man with a problem. Amen. And Jesus is saying there are solutions to problems. He says when you have a problem, there is a solution. This man's problem is what? He's got a need for bread. It's in the middle of the night. Friend, Mike Hinson, I need a screwdriver. It's like, get out of here, man. I'm sleeping. The man has done something really nice. He has opened the door for a visitor, right? Hey, I'm going to hook you up. And his sleep is interrupted. And then what happens is, because he's opened his door, the visitor's problem, which is what? I got no dinner, becomes his problem. And he has no solution, so he goes out and he goes to his friend. This is not a convenient time. And the friend says, go away, man. And Jesus says, it is the boldness that gets the bread. The guy was not beating on the door for the next hour. Doesn't say that. It says the guy was bold. And that word in the Greek is made up of, it's a contraction where there's a negative participle, like a not. And it's like, he was not modest. Okay? That's bold, right? Being not modest is bold. It is not shame. He didn't have shame, right? And because he didn't have shame, he was bold, right? So he had not shame, not modest, and not regard. He didn't have regard for the guy's sleep. And that's bold, amen? So not modest, not shame, not regard. And Jesus says, that's why he gets the bread. Why? Because the guy who's in bed is thinking, this guy's really got a problem. Not, this is my buddy. It is the problem that dictates the response, not the relationship. What? I thought it was just because he kept on screaming. No. Now, there's a lady that, you know, keeps on battering down the judge. That's down the road. He says it's not because of his friendship, but because of his boldness. What? Because he's leaving his problem hanging out there. I got a problem. And that is the way Jesus says that you should pray. I got a problem. And if you do that, you'll get an answer. You see that? It's bold. You're leaving yourself just hanging wide open. Let me continue on. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And the pathway to heaven, the hookup to heaven, takes courage. Why? Because Jesus said, let your issues hang out. Let your sin hang out. Because so we're taught from we're a little kid, man, 2-year-old, say, did you do that? No, he'll lie. And we want to cover our sin. We want to cover our shame. We don't want to be bold. We don't want to be not shameful. We don't want to be not modest. We don't want to be not have regard for the people around us. We want to be in control. Well, my kingdom to reign. Amen? I want to show you how put together I am. And Jesus says, that's going to put some barriers between you and the kingdom of God. Why are we afraid? Because when you let your shortcomings just be exposed, you're afraid somebody's going to rip you off. Why? You got to be strong, so I'm going to take an advantage of. Am I talking to anybody? See, and so we take that, and we don't want to show our shortcomings to anybody. I'll get you some bread. Don't worry. I got a little bit of money. I'm going to go find somebody. I'll handle it for you. He says, oh, man, dude, I got no bread. I need your help. You're the only one I can turn to. Not because he's a friend, but because he's bold. Jesus says, you turn to your Father in heaven. You can trust him. He is you take your best example of any father that you know, and your Father in heaven is better than that. And hey, man, if your son asks you for a piece of bread, you're going to give him a rock? No, man, you've got to rip him off. Your son can expose himself to you and show you his shortcomings. And so we can show our shortcomings to our Father in heaven without worry that he's going to rip us off. In fact, he says, you want your prayers answered? Be transparent. If you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a scorpion. He's probably going to give you the best fish you ever seen. It takes courage. It takes transparency. Be bold. Open up. You think about it, the Bible says that God knows what we need before we even ask him. So Jesus says, let's hook up on your daily provision. Let's hook up on the temptation that surrounds you, because guess what? God knows what tempts you. God knows what you are walking through every week. He says, let's hook up on all the choices that you are making that separate me from you. You will be that transparent, because I know what is separating me from you. And you're doing it every day. And as soon as you will come to me and say, I am struggling in this area in my life, he says, oh, finally. Whew. I've been waiting. Been waiting, Roki. If you just open up that section of your heart, let's go to work. And our fear is that God would mock us and laugh at us. You weakling. I hate you. You disgust me. He'll never do that. You ask him for a fish, he's never going to give you a scorpion. Amen? You came up here today, in here today, looking for a hookup with heaven? You can find one. And right now, maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about what is preventing that hookup from happening. He says, we can deal with it today. But you got to be bold. You got to be transparent. We got to be talking real. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up? And he says, and he ends this prayer, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He said, what? We're not even talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about prayer. And the disciples, maybe you're thinking, wait a minute. We ask you to teach us how to pray. Where does the Holy Spirit come into this? Well, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will pray when you don't know how to pray. Amen. Will guide you into truth. Will guide you into understanding. See, the pathway to heaven is a person. Jesus Christ gave his blood that you might be transformed in your very being, in your sin nature. But it is the Holy Spirit that would come and live inside of you. He says, you want to get hooked up with heaven? You're going to need more help than you understand. You're going to have to be so transparent to just say, oh man, I am so messed up. I need the Holy Ghost to guide my thoughts, to guide my actions, to guide the choices that I make. Because I'm so messed up. Every day I am tempted. Every day I am challenged. Every day I try to make it through on my strength and show how tough I am. Or I'd say, oh, my Father in heaven, you are so awesome and holy. Let your kingdom come and overwhelm every choice that I make. Glory to your name. Lord, I need your provision, Lord, as you clothe the lilies of the field and you feed the birds of the air. Lord, I need your provision in my home, your clothing and your food. Lord, I make such terrible choices in my life. Lord, I need guidance. I need to be directed into truth, Lord. Lord, I'm surrounded by temptation, Lord. Put the blinders on. Help me to understand, Lord. And he says, you ask for the Holy Spirit. You can receive it. You want to be transformed in your life? You're being touched right now by the Lord. You're thinking about the challenges that you've had. Time to be bold. Time to be transparent. Time to just stand. The Lord's not speaking to you. Don't do this. The Lord is speaking to you saying, I have a deliverance for you. Not this week. This day. Tomorrow it happens again. So you can just stand right now and just say, oh, Lord, my Father in heaven. Oh, Lord, I've been facing challenges. I need guidance. I want to be bold. I want to be hanging out before heaven. You can just stand right where you're at. Put your hands up in the air and say, oh, Lord, here I am, your child. I am your child. I am your child.